started.
Well, I don't see you attempting attendees. Here we go.
All right, it's not letting me show video. So I'm considered an attendee.
But I wonder if I can give you control.
Dear Jesus.
If not, forward it to me and I'll do it. I'll click through the slides and be Grunt Boy. But let's see if I can give you it's not letting you, huh?
No, and there's no video option as well. It's only an audio option.
We'll get it.
Hold on. Yeah, I know. I know we will. You can do it.
WAP. Promote to panelist. WAP. You've been promoted to panelist. Same thing with Tom.
Oh, here we go.
WAP. Good. Promote to panelist. Okay, you've both been promoted. How do you like that? You got a promotion today.
Magic. I want to wake the neighbors, wake the pets, tell the kids, but it won't let me start my video. You can't start video because the host has stopped it. So you have to request I start video again.
Yeah, I cannot share video again.
No, it says the host has all the power right here.
But you're
host
getting there. We're getting there.
We were going to transform the whole sector, but now because of technological Zoom challenges.
Yeah, you just got to say request video. For me and for Tom, probably in our profile.
Let's see. Boom.
With the three dots.
Host. I'm going to make you a co-host.
Okay. That's even getting better.
You are now a co-host. Look, this is your second promotion in just this one meeting. It's unbelievable.
Wake the kids, wake the neighbors. I am.
Wait. Same thing with Tom. My God, you guys just got double promoted.
I'm going to put on.
Yeah, I still cannot start my video though.
I'm going to see if I can make you start it here, Tom.
You there should you be able to now. You're showing all clear on my end.
Right. I'm going to put my gold
Katie,
pin on.
Katie, lovely to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to put my gold pin on here for the special occasion. Here we go. Yes. Okay.
All right, so I was sharing that you were able to see that.
Yes. Yep. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, get rid of this. Uh-oh, what happened?
Tom, where are you in relation to Columbus, Ohio? Are you near Columbus or no?
2 hours north.
North, okay. I was there for the Indiana game, but I bolted at halftime. My wife's got a bad hip, getting snowed on didn't go well, but it was such a blast.
It's snowing here today.
Yeah, same. We're getting snowed on. I'm in Sugar Grove, Illinois.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you. I had a client in Chicago that I was on before I jumped here, and they're getting snow right now.
Yeah.
And thank them for sending it my way.
No, you send it my way now.
Right, you can have it. After it comes through Chicago, it goes through Detroit, gets all dirty, then dumps on Cleveland, and then we send it off to New York.
Are you getting, so I saw like Buffalo is going to get like 4 to 6 feet, you know, just because I watch football and, you know, they're hosting.
They're going to get a lot.
So yeah. Now, but that doesn't make it out to you, does it? You're too east to be a little south.
Because Buffalo gets hammered because of the way the lake is curved and the winds come across the lake. And the eastern part of Cleveland, all the way up to Buffalo, Ashtabula, that whole swath along the lake, that's what gets dumped on. Because when it comes across the lake, it turns it into snow and just dumps it. The east side of Cleveland gets snow. The west side does not. Because it doesn't come across the lake. And then Buffalo, they get like four times whatever we get.
How many do we have?
Andrew, Tamara, and Deborah. So I see we have some attendees out there already. Yay. Welcome.
Hold three. Excellent. That's good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's good practice.
You're going to get great value, phenomenal value.
I'm going to make it so everybody can talk because we're small.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, only one At least I think I'm going to. Good.
Let's see. Allow to talk. Andrew, you can now talk.
Talking permitted, it says. Tamara, I see
you can now talk. Andrew. Like Karina, boom. Karina, you can now talk. And Deborah, you can now talk. Yes. Everybody can talk.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank now you.
Welcome.
You guys can jump on video. We can actually see you as well as hearing you.
Right. And see the level of engagement and the wonderment of animation in your face as we share the gems of admissions wisdom.
The awe in your eyes at the profoundness of what's coming.
We do not have video permission.
Yeah, there. I don't think we do have video permission. So.
Okay. Next level. Tosh,
oh, wait a minute. I may be able to fix that, but I may not.
Andrew, we turned yours off for a reason.
Oh, allow to talk. Nope, I only have allow to talk. Bummer.
Mike and Mike are on the way.
Oh, but wait, Andrew, cool picture. Oh, great picture. Oh, my God, I wish I could grow a beard like that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And Tosh, if you made them all panelists, then we would have video.
Oh, I wonder if I can do that. But they don't have a little app. Oh, they do. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't have an option for video.
Okay, gotcha. I'm promoting everybody to a panelist. This is great. I'm learning. You guys are teaching me. So I thought I was coming on here simply to facilitate, but no.
Tamara, 2 hours of us today. I mean, how much more could you possibly want?
I don't know, yes. Tom. I'm seeing more of you than I am of my family, so.
Excellent.
How it should be. Sometimes it's a good thing. And sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Promote to panelists.
We have an admissions representative that we used to work with for a number of years. And he had a 3-hour commute each way from the Poconos to New York City.
Oh.
And every day, he'd have a 6-hour total commute. And I asked, are you married? I'm like, why do you do that? It's like, yeah, I love my wife, but I just got to spend lots of time away from her to help the relationship. And he was doing that for 20 years.
I'm going to try that line.
Right, there we go. They're being promoted.
Everybody's being promoted. See, you all joined this meeting for a promotion. This is great.
Tash, I don't know how integral this is, but when we've rejoined, I don't know if this is the case for everyone, when we attempt to turn on our video, it tells us that we cannot start our video because the host has stopped it.
Oh, well, that's a whole nother learning curve for me.
So just don't take it personally that we're not all coming on video.
All right. I'm promoting you to panelists, really.
Mike, good to see you or not see you.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I often have this. People are sometimes intimidating by my devastatingly handsome.
I know I am. Yeah. You and I have spent, I don't know, 20 hours together in the last month. So.
Right. Oh, nope. Yeah, again, I'm getting
what
blocked.
A modest group this is.
Right.
Healthy ego is a good thing.
For some.
That's right.
All right.
All right. I think we
just can't put ourselves on video, but we can all hear you.
It's all good.
So
as long as you're there in spirit.
Right.
That way we won't know exactly what you're doing and if you've left to go get a cup of coffee or something and just let this run.
Or doing a TikTok dance, recording that.
That's all good. Right. Considering it's a seminar on virtual, I think this is very ironic, but it's all good.
Amazing start.
All right, let's jump in.
And how often do reps have these kinds of challenges with prospective students when they're attempting to do a virtual interview? And you know, that's a whole piece of it, the whole technology piece.
Now, this is actually slide number 6 today.
Right,
Tom.
In our presentation.
You're going to want to pay attention to that slide.
Great. So let's get moving here. So my name's Tosh Urey. Thank you for being on here. Thank you for your patience and your playful banter. Appreciate that. And I am excited. I'm joined with Lexington Maximus and Tom King. And there are we're going to be talking about best practices as it relates to virtual interviews. So I am going to shut up. And Tom and Lexington, all yours.
Thank you. All right, Tom, take it away. Begin to begin.
Yeah, let's just jump right in and let's get started here today. So we're going to talk about best practices for virtual sales success. And we are going to talk about the word, the S word, that is sales here today. We're going to talk about how it relates to virtual and how to make it more engaging and how to do a better job selling virtually, which a lot of people are struggling with. So as we move into it, I'm going to get started here and just talk about some of the struggles with virtual selling, because and the struggle is, as I say here, the struggle is not real, but many schools struggle with virtual presenting and closing students. They really haven't figured out exactly how I'm going to do a better job virtually than I would in person. And most of the time, the mindset from the schools is, you know, that, and my students, they want to see the facility. The school sells itself. And those mindsets that you have around that, I mean, your students haven't said that to you. Your reps have said that, but the students haven't actually said, okay, that the school sells itself. You have said that. So if the mindset of the rep or the DOAs or ownership is that the school will sell itself, well, if the school sells itself, there's not really a lot of need for admissions reps, is there?
Save the money. Get rid of them. Yeah. If that's true.
Yeah, I could just put a kiosk at the end of the tour and you can just sign up. You can use the virtual advisor platform to actually just sign up at the end and actually not need a rep if the school sells itself. The school doesn't sell itself. The rep sells the school. The rep creates the motivation. And a lot of managers and reps are afraid that students enrolled virtually aren't going to start at the same rate as an on-campus student, which is another myth out here is, just because somebody enrolls virtually doesn't mean they're less committed student than they are if they came in, or if they're a less engaged student if the presentation and the process is done correctly. So in the webinar today, we're going to give you the exact structure, the exact frameworks, the exact process, the scripts to effectively present and close your prospects virtually. And I'm going to let Lex jump in and talk a little bit about some of the challenges.
And top two virtual selling challenges, over 62% of sellers rated 18 specific challenges that were studied as at least somewhat challenging. And bubbling to the top of this list, there were two. Number one, gaining buyers' attention and keeping them engaged virtually. 91% realized that that is a challenge. Number two, developing relationships with buyers virtually. 88% felt that that was a challenge. And just because of the challenge doesn't mean virtual is not relevant or effective, because assumptions are literally the killer of new opportunities. And so many school owners and directors of admissions and admissions reps, they just assume that they somehow know better than facts. Assumptions are the enemy of facts, because so much of the time they're not true. And something that Tom and I bring to all of the schools we work with is we test things. So we're not guessing and saying, hey, this seems like a good idea, Andrew or Tracy or Corinna. Let's try you out. Let's experiment on you like mad scientists. Instead, we test things. We've been doing virtual, not for 2 or 3 years since COVID. Tom and I have been doing and training schools in virtual for 16 years. We saw this opportunity that it would be the future. And so anything that's a challenge with training, skill set can be developed. And to succeed, you must adopt new virtual sales skills and the approaches to overcome these challenges. And you will end up doing even better than you're doing now if you incorporate virtual with training for your admissions reps effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the common mistakes that are made by the reps and by people that are selling virtually is, number one, this is what the buyers are saying. So buyers are telling you that most of the reasons that or the mistakes that the sellers are making is, number one, they're experiencing technology problems. So they're not able to share their screen properly. They're not able to have their sound working properly. They can't get the video working properly. They're unable to do something properly at the seller's end, number one. Number two as well is they use either poor or no visuals during those meetings. The whole purpose of virtual is to create an engaging presentation that draws the explorer in. So you've got to have some great visuals, and you're going to see some examples of that as we move forward. This page is not a great example. However, okay, it's a stark visual. It's something that at least will catch your attention. It's not hard to see the writing that we have on there. We don't have 16 pictures, blue, white, different gradations of colors on it. This is just white on black. Okay, it's stark. It's able to give you a visual of exactly what we're talking about. Another thing that buyers typically are talking about too is that they're not responsive to my questions or concerns because the rep isn't comfortable with presenting virtually. So often the times they don't know how to conduct a proper interview, even though they'll do it every single day in person. When they get on Zoom, it's almost like they've never sold before for the school. 83% of people say that the rep is not prepared as well. They don't have everything needed, that they're going to show a video and, oh, hold on a second. Let me click and load this really quick. Hang on. It's not work. Hang on. The rep is not prepared. Or I'm going to show you something. Let me share this PDF with you, which is an absolute no-no. Don't share PDFs. Don't be clicking on 16 different tabs while you're there. Be responsive and be prepared. And then the last thing is that they simply lack presentation skills. They lack the ability to present properly virtually, which is a very different skill than sitting there individually with somebody one-on-one. Virtual presentations are difficult. Okay? It's why people don't do as well with it. But when they're done correctly with the right process and the right framework with the right mindset, with the right presentation skills, they're absolutely equally or more effective than in person.
And one of the big no-nos that a lot of directors and owners and DOAs do is they will give their reps and say, here, go Zoom. We got to do virtual. It crashes and burns. And the reps say, this didn't work at all because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Everything takes skill. A person who wants to do brain surgery given a scalpel without training is not actually a brain surgeon. They're just a guy or a woman with a scalpel. So let's get into the virtual setup. And it all starts, of course, with that. And what do you actually need for a virtual setup? And since 89% of buyers, in fact, feel virtual selling mistakes are technologically related. So number one, you need great sound. Tom and I review so many Zoom virtual meetings where the sound's terrible. And you can get away with poor video, but not with poor sound. That breaks up everything. It disconnects. We got to create more connection with people. If a person is going in and out in person, you would lose the attention of the explorer very quickly. So the sound has got to be as perfect as possible, just like it's in person. Because that's all virtual means, as if it's real. Sound needs to be high-quality mic. It costs $30, $40, Amazon, Best Buy. A lavalier is preferred. Like I have a lavalier here, for example. No headsets. Amazon, stop. And a lavalier is preferred. Everyone's listening to us these days. No headsets, because headsets make them people feel disconnected from their explorers, and it's like they're a air traffic controller, perhaps, or a telemarketer operator on TV commercials. And number two, lighting. You have to have great lighting. It has to be intentional. Don't rely on whatever ambient lighting you have. You need to have a light right in front, because the face has to be animated so people can see the energy and enthusiasm and authenticity of the admissions representative. Also, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And without good lighting, the eyes are shadows, and people will feel actually disconnected, and it would be disconcerting to look at a person without eyes, without clear eyes. Also, use a high-definition camera, not some cheap thing you happen to find or inherit from 10, 12 years ago.
And high-quality video. Lex, yeah, question. So, you know, I struggle with this one personally. Is I'm wearing the readers, but they also help me with the screen and you know. Yes. But sometimes I can't see my own eyes, and it seems weird, you know. And would I just be better off not even wearing them? And now you guys are all blurred, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm coming.
If you can read, the key is you got to be able to read what you need to read. But like Mike Chamberlain said, tilt them up. it's better to have no glasses if there's glare than not. But you can also arrange lighting sometimes to minimize glare, or as Mike said, tilt them up. But you want to make sure you're also going to be looking directly at the camera, which we're going to talk about as well. That's a very good question. And you need to try different light angles and so forth to see what's going to minimize glare in your eyes. Now that gets worse.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that worked. Oh, the tilt. Thank you, Mike.
Bingo. Thank you, Mike. All right. Very good question. And these are the considerations. Could a lot of people wear glasses? What do you do? Is there a reflection? It's not as connecting. Good question, Tosh. Now, also HD camera, got to have clear video. Also, green screen and professional background. Do not use your Vision Trips walls. It's very limiting. It's very confining. Ideally, you have a three-dimensional background, like for example, I have. Three-dimensional background with windows. It's open. It feels more, it just feels happy. It creates a happier emotional experience. And make sure there's a professional background, something that looks good, does not distract from the experience where the star of the play is the admissions representative. The background should support that. Could have your logo. It should have your logo in it, in fact. But one school had a moving picture of massage, someone being massaged the entire time they're giving presentations. And I told them, get rid of that. And it was beautiful, except when you're presenting, it was completely distracting. Then also make sure you have a quiet location. And you test that with making sure you have, ideally, it's a noise cancellation mic, or make sure it's quiet. Because if there's any extraneous noises from, you know, thin walls or students yelling outside, that will become very distracting to the experience of the explorer. And lastly, frame yourself. Make sure you're not too low, which a lot of reps are like this, or they're not looking up the whole time, and or they're not centered. That distracts people big time. And it also reduces credibility. If you're here, you have a lot less credibility than if you're framed correctly. It should just be a little bit of space above your head. Make sense, everybody? And if you have any questions along the lines, put it in chat and we'll answer. And just like Tosh asked a question there.
Yeah. Perfect. And just to continue, we don't want to spend too much time on this part. We want to get to the actual presentation here, but of selling itself. But these are important things. Without good sound, without good lighting, without being framed well, the actual experience won't be as connecting, and that's what's going to lead to a lot lower starts. It's going to lead to lower sales from you. A couple of quick appearance don'ts as well. So some things not to do on here is don't dress unprofessional. Be at least a level up from your explorer. We just did an admissions mastermind about an hour or 2 hours ago. And there's a number of reps on there in hoodies and t-shirts.
Hoodies.
The dress code, I get it that some of you are remote. I get it that some of your students may not be on campus or something. Okay? That doesn't mean you should still dress unprofessional. You should still be professionally dressed. Wear clothes as well that don't cause green screen issues. So a key don't is don't wear a green shirt. otherwise, you're going to be a floating head. So that would not be, man, that's not going to be helpful out there. Also, make sure you've done your hair. Make sure if you were going to wear makeup that you put it on, but make sure that you've at least done whatever. Don't look like you just rolled out of bed with your hair sticking up in 14 different directions. We've seen that before.
And you'd be surprised. Yes.
But it's unbelievable what we see.
Yeah.
Just because you're working from home doesn't mean you can just roll out of bed and be on camera and put a hat on or something.
Oh, Karina shared that treat it like a job interview. That's
right. Absolutely, yeah. Karina. And when people...
Dress professional. That's right. The bottom line.
And it changes the mindset,
too. What
would
you wear to
work? Yeah, and yes, and if someone's working from home, I can wear Juicy Couture's or Lemoncello or whatever they wear. No, because it changes their mindset and it changes how you will communicate with your explorers. So dress well.
What if you're a trade school and everybody's jeans and t-shirts and work boots?
You should still dress one level above your
above. Student. Right. You have to dress so with
if
suit that's, tie.
If you're a trade school in jeans, t-shirts, then fine. Your reps should at least be in polos, or they don't have to be in shirt, tie, and a jacket. That's not that's not going to be engaging for a trade school. But being at least in a dress shirt or a polo with the school logo or something, but it should be a professional attire. It should never be jeans. It might be khakis or Dockers or something like that. And it should not be tennis shoes. It would be a dress shoe of some sort. You've got to be at least one to two levels above your students, even when working from home. And the last couple of things here too is don't eat, don't chew gum, and don't take a drink. So if you need to drink, drink before the presentation, because sitting there drinking out of a bottle of something, we don't always know what the bottle is. Okay, so you can't tell. There you go. Like Lex drinking out of like a, looks like a medicine bottle. Okay, I never know what he's drinking. You know, he says it's kombucha. To me, it looks like Pepto-Bismol or something. I have no idea what the guy's drinking. But if you're going to drink, don't do it on camera. Don't chew gum. Don't eat your banana or whatever it is you're doing. So turn off your camera. Mute yourself, too, because we can hear you chewing and opening a bag of chips. So make sure you mute yourself. And then the last thing here is dress down below. Okay. It does not mean that we're all sitting here, you know, naked from the waist down. What I'm saying is put a pair of pants on, don't wear shorts, don't wear swimsuit, don't wear sweatpants. Okay. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not affecting your credibility and your confidence, because when you're dressed for success, you will be more successful. When you dress down, you will absolutely be less successful.
Bingo, which takes us to our next point, virtual selling key points, and diving into them. Number one, the importance of mindset in virtual enrolling. That's why the dress code is so important. Instant credibility or lack of credibility based upon how a person's dressed, because people do judge a book by its cover. And also, how to build the same emotional connection as on-site virtually. That's a skill set. It takes training and practice and feedback to do that. Number three, the structure of the perfect virtual presentation. What does that look like? Using the PowerPoint or virtual advisor, whatever you may use, it has to be an effective and short structure that does not over-inform. Number four, awesome follow-up after the virtual presentation to ensure that the virtual enrollments start.
So these are the four things we're going to cover today. Now, we're going to talk about mindset. We're going to talk about how to create that emotional connection. We're going to talk about how to structure your presentation properly. And then we're going to talk about following up virtually with your virtual enrollments to make sure that they start to increase that overall start rate. So let's jump into it with the first one here, which is really that virtual mindset. Let's talk a little bit about virtual mindset. I mentioned it a little at the beginning today, but the importance of mindset in virtual enrolling is critical. Everybody that struggles with virtual presentations or doesn't think it works, it's because of the mindset they have that this is not an effective medium. I can't close as well as I close in person. It's not as engaging as if they came to my school. You got to have the positive attitude that you can sell virtually. I call it positive expectation, okay? Or positive expectancy is the way I refer to it. Everything I do has a positive expectancy, meaning I know I'm going to close every sale that I talk to. I know I'm going to put together a PowerPoint that's going to be engaging. I know that this is going to work. I also have positive expectancy that at the end, everybody fills out an enrollment. Everybody will be closed. Nobody will have objections. It's always, to me, positive expectancy. If I do my job, everything will land where it's supposed to. I put all of the strategies and probabilities together to give myself the best chance of being successful. So you got to have that positive mindset that absolutely you can sell and close virtually. And a lot of that has to do with, if you've got the right runway, the right presentations and everything, you're going to be more successful, and success breeds success. Mindset is just, you know, as important and virtual as it is in person. You got to have the same thoughts around you, but you also need to understand and have the mindset that virtual is still just as engaging as being in person. We should still be just as engaging and feel that I'm engaging with you and I'm talking and reaching out to you virtually. You got to feel that I'm just as engaging this way. You also have to understand that sales is based on emotion, okay? It's based on an emotional connection. Sales is all, 92% of all sales are based on emotion. Okay. Why? Because emotion is what sells. If you understand that, then video can be a great tool to convey emotion. Has anybody here ever been to a movie? I'm going to guess yes. Has anybody here ever cried in a movie? Did you cry when Old Yeller died? Did you cry?
You had to bring that up now, Tom? God, I got through that with therapy.
I feel terrible. Did you cry when at the end of E.T.? Or you can go, did you watch The Notebook? I mean, have you cried in any of these movies, people? If you've cried in a movie, then you know that properly presenting using a great script, camera, sound, and doing it properly, you know that can convey emotion. Why do actors convey emotions and get you excited, depressed, sad, enthusiastic, ready to run through? I mean, it's all because it's done virtually. Everything that you've ever watched on TV in a movie, it's all virtual, but yet you're emotionally connected there. The only reason you wouldn't have an emotional connection here is because you don't have that mindset, or you don't have the skill set or technology to actually do it properly. Fix those things, and you're going to be much more successful, because people love video. People love to watch videos. 92% of all internet usage is video watching. Okay, people love to watch stuff on videos. They will love to watch you, but you got to have that mindset that you can be successful here.
And it's amazing how many schools still are trying to enroll people with phone calls and pushing against video. And you can't build as much emotion just with tonality in words. So how do we build an emotional connection virtually? And to underline this, write this down. People buy and take action and enroll based on emotion and justify with facts, not the other way around. Info dumping is not how you get people to enroll at a higher level. It's generating positive emotions during that virtual and in-person experience, same thing. Now, 7% of communication is verbal. So it's critical that your admissions representatives have a great virtual greeting. The beginning should not be fluffy and like, how are you? Good. And okay, well, I'll tell you a little bit about our program now. That's how most of them start. Instant non-credibility, instant low value. They're not going to be engaged. And just from that setup alone, less people will end up enrolling. First impressions count big time. Now, words are only 7%, but they are still 7%. They're not zero. So the words that are used need to be very specific. And Tom and I, in our scripts, we test everything, just like Enrollment Resources does in marketing. We A-B test. What's the winner? We pick that. A-B test again. What's the winner? Pick that. So we have words that if you're not our clients, you're not using most likely the optimal language, because you don't test these things. We do this every single day to find out what the best practices are. And things change over time. What worked 10 years ago or 1 year ago doesn't work today. Now, 38% is tonal. Your tonality of your admissions representative needs to be friendly but formal. You're not their friend. You're friendly. However, they're a person of high value. Credibility is the currency of the professional influencer. Write that down as well. These are good tidbits for your reps, good gems. Credibility is the currency of the professional influencer. And with great credibility, your admissions representatives can be profoundly effective with virtual. Without credibility, they will not be. And they're a professional influencer, no different than someone with 1 million followers on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it may be. So friendly but formal in tonality, and vary your tone to be engaging. It shouldn't always be loud and fast. It shouldn't always be slow. It needs to vary it like a great symphony, the same thing, and that will keep people engaged. And most reps just have an on and off button. So as you listen to your reps, as you watch your reps, make sure that you're giving them training and support, that they understand the importance of talking faster when it calls for it, louder when it calls for it, quieter when it calls for it, and not being afraid to pause as well. Now, then 55% is body language. Act the part, smile, listen actively, be engaged. Looking directly at the camera is one thing almost no reps do. I'm looking at Tracy Clayton right now, right, or her picture, the thinker. And I'm looking at her picture. That's what most reps do. You can tell I'm not connected with you. I'm looking right at you now, Tosh. But I'm really not. I'm looking right at the camera. That's one of the keys. And also, most admissions reps, they are not animated in their face enough. It shouldn't be over the top or not credible. But most reps that we see when we do mystery shopping, or when we're given initial Zoom videos before people start working with us, it looks like the reps won $1 million before their presentation. It's like, wow, that would be great, right? Well, no, because they took that $1 million and they went out and they got $1 million of Botox injections and put it in their face. and they're almost stone-faced. There's very little animation and joy, and everything communicates. And our faces are huge communicators of energy, enthusiasm, caring, and connection. And then the last elements to this are celebrate the answers when needed. That's how you create emotional connection as well. That's how you generate uplifting emotion. I'm curious, what inspires you to consider becoming a professional driver? I love driving since I was a little kid. That sounds wonderful. Celebrate it. I love driving since I was a little kid. Okay. That's what most reps do. Celebrate authentic celebrations. That up-levels of the emotional state. Because the main focus of the admissions representative is not to dump information. It's on your website. You know, they're going to give some basic information. They always give too much information, by the way. That's another discussion. Reduce information. Information is easy. But what causes a person to take that next step and apply, enroll, and start school is the emotional positive emotions that were generated during that experience. And also agree with people if they have any objections, agree. You know, yeah, you're right. This is expensive. And what would you need to get out of our program to make it worth it for you? And also trial close throughout the presentation. Don't just go into info dump mode. Tom and I just heard a virtual presentation this morning. This person was incredibly energetic, but it was energetic the whole time, way over the top. It ended up becoming frenetic, and it was just an info dump. With one breath, no trial closes. Do you see how small classes could help you? Since you mentioned that you want personal attention, would that be important to you? So your rep has to regularly ask for engagement and ask questions, trial closes. And that will also up-level the emotional state. So a person is not being talked at, but being talked with. That makes sense, everyone? And again, you could type any insights, comment, anything in the chat as well.
No, perfect. Let's take a quick pause. We're gonna jump into the actual presentation itself and how to structure that with you. I'm curious from everybody here, and if you want to either unmute or type in chat, what's been the biggest takeaway so far? You know, what's something you've gotten out of this that you can apply to either yourself or your team moving to the next stage? What's a quick takeaway? See, if you're not on camera, you're all went to go get coffee somewhere. I know, I just know it.
I will say something.
Yeah.
I will say that mindset is absolutely critical. You have to absolutely have that positive attitude that you are going to be moving forward in a positive direction throughout the whole entire experience. So I think that that was super important.
Good. Deborah, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say the example that you used about the movies and did you cry at them? Does it make, you know, how does it make you feel? I think that was really, that stuck with me. So I think that's an awesome way to describe what it is you have to do to connect emotionally.
Yeah, it goes to show that video and virtual can create emotional connection if you do it right. Anybody else? Andrew, Tracy, Karina, Mike, Jessica. Let's see. Mike liked what Karina said about the job interview. Yeah. The focus is not to dump information, Karina, but to create the connection. And then appreciating the emphasis on varying the verbal rhythm and tone. Absolutely. So vary what you do. Perfect. Let's keep. Yeah.
Mine, Tom, was the technical part of it is I don't have a good background. I'm not sure I got a great microphone, different things like that. And we'll work on that.
Right. Because you've got a lot of echo on yours right now. And because of that, you're going to sound less credible. And right. once you started to lose credibility because they think, okay, this guy doesn't have a good microphone and he's sitting somewhere in a different environment that may not be connecting or too busy behind him. So all of those things matter. All the little things matter as we move through these. Awesome. Let's keep running. Let's get into the actual presentation itself and talk about the structure of the virtual presentation. I'm going to just give you a quick overview of the actual structure itself. This is how a virtual sales structure is laid out. Number one, we want to take them down this exact path. So these seven steps are the key. Number one, greeting and agenda. So you've got a greeting and agenda. It's quick. It's to the point. It's absolutely 100% scripted and you're comfortable saying it. It gets the meeting off. You've set the agenda, put them at ease. They know exactly what's going to happen to them. You can be more effective. Number two, a discovery questionnaire. Having the right discovery questions that are going to build, you know, connection, going to build rapport and allow you to get the key information that you may need to be able to personalize the rest of the tour. Discovery questionnaire should only take about 7 minutes. I was just working with a client a minute ago. She's averaging about 14 minutes. That's way too long on virtual. She's losing people. They're starting to check out. So we got to keep things quicker. In fact, we want to go a little quicker here so that we're not keeping you too long. Next one, a visual about us. We're going to talk a little bit about the school. People buy for three reasons. Number one, they buy you or trust you. They buy the school or the company and trust the company. And number three, they buy the product. Those are the three things it takes to sell anything. Well, discovery questionnaire, they get to buy you because you've shown you care and you're showing you want to engage. The about us shows why the school is great. Then you've got a virtual tour. Maybe it takes about 4 minutes to just self-narrate your way through that tour, having a great scripted tour that's, again, no sound. You control it. You walk them through. You narrate it. And you relate it to what you found in discovery to them. But that should only take about 4 minutes. Again, emotional connection is made. Then you have a course benefit overview. What is in the program itself? I mean, take 5 minutes to talk about the benefits of the program that we have. Now they've bought you, they've bought the school, and they've bought the program. They've got all three of those things, and we're only somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 minutes in. By 20 minutes in, I'm ready to close. I'll take a few minutes to cover financial aid and tuition investment, okay, which is not, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I just want to show them all the things that are available, and then I'm going to bridge to an application and move them to the next steps. So let's take each one of these seven things and we're going to cover them individually with you. We'll go fairly quickly through them, but we want to make sure that you understand how to build this exact structure.
And number one, the greeting and agenda. Again, that sets the tone for everything. You only have one chance to make a first impression. To set up this experience effectively, use great tonality to set the agenda and the intention for the career planning session, making sure that your reps are looking directly at the camera. They need to see you and hear you and make sure before you even begin, the first thing after you do the greeting, you know, hello, great to see you. Can you hear and see me well? If they can't, fix it. Best way to prevent that is make sure to check it beforehand. But if they can't fix it, you're going to waste your time going forward. And then you set the agenda and the transition to the next portion of your experience.
Perfect. So it's a short intro and we're ready to roll into the discovery questionnaire. The goal here is just to discover who they are, what their current situation is, what their goals are, their motivations, and their needs. Again, should only take about 7 minutes and it's done face-to-face. I think one of the big challenges that a lot of schools have is they're showing slides like I'm doing right now. Well, if I'm showing you a slide, my face is somewhere off in a corner or small somewhere, you can't see me. You want to do this without screen sharing. The whole agenda greeting, I think Les just mentioned it, it's done face-to-face. This discovery is done face-to-face. I'm craving a connection here. I can't be showing slides of something if I really want someone to buy into me and really feel that I care and I'm leaning in and I want to talk to them more about it. Okay. Face-to-face, create that connection. We're going to learn about their current situation. We're going to learn about their employment status. We're going to learn what problems and challenges they might have. And there we've got to come up with the pain. What's the problem? What are we trying to solve? What's the implication? What if they don't do this? Where would they be a year from now if they don't do this? I know in the virtual advisor tool, that's a question that's in there. How would you feel if you don't do this a year from now? Okay. We want to make sure that people are actually understand the consequences of not moving forward. Okay. Then the last thing in discovery is we're going to find those goals and uplift questions to move them into a positive frame of mind to move forward. So we've created really great connection here and we've uncovered some of their problem areas. we've had them talk out loud about what would happen if they don't do this. They have to say what their problem is, and we have to get to the core dominant buying motive from the explorer.
And the visual about us section, as someone said, a picture is worth a thousand words, but they've got to be good pictures. They got to be the right pictures. You need three slides of the main features of the school, because they need to buy your school, the company, the credibility. Get them trusting the company, your school, and seeing the value. Cover each feature and benefit, only three bullet points max for each slide. What is the feature? And the advantage of that feature. Never have a feature without a benefit. What's in it for them? So what? We have small class sizes. We have student services. We have offer financial aid to those who qualify. So what? You have to have the feature and the advantage, the benefit in there. Why is that feature benefit important? Why do we do it? If it's not important for a prospective student and explorer to know, it doesn't belong there. How will that feature benefit the student? And again, a great question. This is something Tom says all the time. So what? We have dot, dot, dot. So what? If you can't add a justification with a great value to so what, it shouldn't be in there. Using great graphics and benefit language. It's all about the outcome. You're not selling education, ladies and gentlemen. You're selling futures. That's what your admissions reps sell. They do not sell your program. They sell futures. So using great graphics and benefit outcome language to show value and build trust in the school is key. And key features may include career placement, certifications, specializations, internships, externships, accreditation, nationally recognized and approved. Those are some of the main value points that show that you can give outcome, that you're credible, that you're trustworthy.
And I'm curious, how many of you, if you're doing virtual at all, how many features of your school do you mention? May or may not share here, but you know, is it more than three features of your school? And how many of those features, if you do share, and if you want to drop in chat, I'm curious, but what are the key features of your school that makes your school valuable and unique that you would share with an explorer? How many people here talk about history? Well, we were founded by Lexington Maximus 45 years ago. We've been around for 45 years. Lex was the main founder. Do you think anybody cares who Lex is in your school, unless he's as famous as the actual Lexington that we have here? Okay. So, I mean, if he's not famous, who cares about your owner? Okay. If your school's not famous, you know, 45 years, okay, is a fraction compared to a Harvard, a Yale, or any other major institutions. You're a pimple. Okay. On Harvard right now, from a standpoint of time. It's not important, your history. We don't care who founded you, unless it was George Washington, because he chopped down Abe Lincoln's cherry tree and it fell on John Adams. You know, whatever, if there's a great story there, great. Okay. But only if it's a feature that makes your school stand out. So Andrew put in here, you know, 43 years, okay. You better be able to tell me why that's important. And again, maybe because you've shown a long history of employment. Mile and a quarter track. Okay, what does that mean for me that you have a mile and a quarter track? And then lots of equipment. Okay. Those could be really great features, but you only need three, not 17. So I mean, we're trying to get the point across that keep it simple. Lex, what's the rule about memory? People forget what?
Right. People forget. What are the numbers? I mean, at least 50% of what you share
in an hour.
In the first hour.
Yeah. People will forget 50% of what you say in 1 hour. You won't remember half of what Lex and I said here. The goal is, can we at least get you a couple key tidbits that stand out that you're going to be able to put together? And maybe you can use the presentation later, go back through it and try to ferret out some more of those. People, I think, forget 70% of what they hear within 1 day. Okay. They won't remember anything. You won't remember any of the stats we gave on the first two slides today. Okay. Which is funny because I think Mike put that in. So you should remember what Lex and I did on the first two slides. It was good to set up the mood. Okay. It's not important. They're not critical. You can forget them, but stop putting slides and numbers up on your...
By the way, here's something else. always make sure your reps tell the people to take notes. Like, you know, we suggest you take notes, because when you take notes, you learn twice, you remember more. So they should always say, take notes on the most important things. And the reps can say what I say often, write this down. Don't ask them, would you like to write this down? Write this down, da, da, da. So the key points, not a thousand things, but a key, no, the minimal, but the key most powerful points, have them write them down. And that will help them remember value even better.
Yeah. And on Andrew's things that he has, is the what's the most important thing? The fact that he's been around 43 years, the fact that he has a mile and a quarter track, or the fact that he has loads of equipment? It might be loads of equipment. If I want them to remember one thing, write this down. We have 132 pieces of equipment, meaning that you're going to train on every brand imaginable, so that anywhere you go to work, you're going to have the skill set to go to work right away without having to be trained, because you've already worked on multiple different pieces of equipment and products. Well, however you're going to say that, if that's the one takeaway, great. They're going to remember one thing about your features, make it a big one. All right, video tours.
All right, were you going to do that one, Tom? Or
no, you can just run through it.
All right, so have a video tour that is done. It doesn't have to be done by a professional company, but it has to be done well. Begin on an iPhone or an iPad or an Android, whatever it is. And it's unnarrated. It's a walkthrough of your school as if it's real. Creates an emotional connection with your school. Hit on the key areas. And since it's unnarrated, your admissions representative will pause it, just like they would stand in any particular place when they do. They don't keep walking the whole time. They'll stop. Maybe career placement. They'll stop over here at the lab or something. So that way they can stop and give more detail on what's most important for that explorer, that prospective student. And rep narrates and stops the videos at times. And it's critical to film horizontally. Do not film this like an Instagram or TikTok video. It's got to be filmed horizontally. It has much more breadth and depth, like a major motion picture, which generates more emotion. And you want to show your classrooms, your labs, showcase the best of your facilities, showcase the various equipment. And what are the signature stops? And this is where the admissions rep would pause. The most important areas of the school, instructor wall, for example, showcase experience, certifications, and so forth. Student services, any activities, events coming up. Career services, career board, of course, that's a major winner. You can pause on that portion of the video and talk more in detail about that. Also, resource center, library, what you offer and why. There always has to be a why. And break areas. This is where you get to, you know, hang out with your fellow students, dot, 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 whatever you want to say with that.
And if you're virtual, instead of the tour, you're going to give a tour of the learning platform, the LMS. So they can see how easy it is to be a student, how easy it is to navigate. This the tour is to create, again, more emotional connection. After the tour, you jump into going over your course and the benefits of that course, maybe 3 to 4 slides, maybe. Each one of them has one feature and one feature only on it. But again, bullet points of maybe 3 bullet points for that feature. What is it? Why do we do it? So what? What's the benefit to the student of that feature? How's that going to stand out? You only need 3 to 4, maybe, key features of your program to the student. You don't have to go through the entire program, every module, how many clock hours each one of those is. No one's going to remember that, and it's not important. Okay, they need to know, is this program going to do what we want it to do? Simply put. Now they're excited. They're sold on everything through the program with you.
And then brings up, of course, the scary thing, the one thing people are bracing themselves for is the financial aid overview and tuition investment. And your reps have to be super clear, whether it's in person or virtual, on how to present this as concisely as possible that shows as much hope and options as possible as well. And briefly, in this portion of the virtual presentation, show and review all the types of aid available. This is where more is more. The other information, less is more. Overwhelm them with options in a good way that, wow, you have this option, this option, this option, and this option. Make it a large list. Create an image that there are lots of ways to finance if needed. That will keep them in the hopeful perspective category and not just dismiss it when they see your tuition. They'll say, okay, it's this much. However, we offer all these different financial options, this, this, and this, and this for those who qualify. and we'll go more to that, da, da, da. And one of the questions you can ask is, so Sally, do you see all the financial aid options that may be available to those who qualify? Yes. My students will all go through the process for financial aid. Will you? And that's bringing the FOMO, fear of missing out on there. All my students go through this process. Will you? Absolutely. Wonderful. Then show the total tuition and spell out what they get for their investment in their education. And you're looking at a total investment. I don't use cost. I don't use price. Words matter. You're looking at a total investment, which can help achieve all those personal and financial goals you set for yourself. The specific cost of your program will depend on a variety of factors, including financial aid eligibility, potential transfer credits, and more. The best way to determine your specific expenses is to meet with a knowledgeable financial aid professional. Your advisor will go through all of your funding options and help you develop a clear education expense plan. And then end that with, how's that sound? They're all going to say, sounds great. Wonderful. Never say, okay. You want to keep them out of high here. And then you stop sharing your screen at that point. And you're total human to human. You're full size to their full size.
And at this point, if you've done everything correctly, you only started screen sharing after discoveries. You shared 3 slides about the school. You shared 1 virtual tour slide, page, whatever. You shared 3 slides about the school, about the program itself. You shared 1 financial aid slide and 1 tuition slide. You've got 9 slides. That's it. It is a 9 slide presentation. You have more than 9 slides. You got too much stuff to show people in a 20-minute virtual tour. 9 slides. At the end of those 9 slides, we stop screen sharing. We bridge to close. So now is when you go through your close. At this point in time, we have a, you know, what we call a bridge, a little bit more elegant than a close. But based upon everything you've experienced here today, Tosh, can you see yourself as a student here? Yes. Fantastic. What I suggest is the next step is let's get started on the application. I'm sending that to you now. Go ahead and tell me when you've got that. Okay. Now we're going to move into the very next steps with it. And we're moving through the entire process.
Which are next action steps and by whens. There always has to be a next action step and a timely by when that is due. If they're in the mix, if they say, no, I decided to be a camel farmer, no way I'm going to do this, then it's over. So you ask for a PDL. And so next action by step, do the agreement online and tell them. You're not asking them, would you like to fill it out? You're telling them, now I'm going to send you the application, dot, dot, dot. If they don't want to do it, they'll say it, and then you can address the objections there. But tell them, because 60 to 70% more people will move forward if they are told what to do next, as opposed to if they're asked. Do the agreement online and pull in financial aid to meet and set up the appointment virtually as well. That helps hugely with people actually doing the next step and showing up for it. It is critical that we map out the entire process for our student with specific and timely, and that's your key there, timely next steps. Don't leave it to the devices of, when would be good for you? Oh, after the new year. That doesn't work. And you make it a next step, you know, is tomorrow, you know, as soon as possible. And you would have the enrollment agreement. They would be able to complete that online or mail PDF or DocuSign, Adobe Sign, however you want to do that. Provide a next step checklist so they know all the elements they need to do to complete their enrollment process, and they have specific dates and timely timelines for them to be accomplished. And people love that because now it's not so amorphous. They have a clear timeline. Okay, do this next, do this next, do this next. They're not overwhelmed with all the steps they got to do to enroll, which increases your start rate. Set financial aid next steps. Explain what they are specifically and what documents would be required. And lastly, set up a communication agreement and specific call times. I promise, Tosh, that if you have any questions at all during your enrollment process as you're completing that, if you have any questions, I promise to get back to you as soon as humanly possible and never more than 24 hours. And then would you also commit to that as well for me, Tosh, that if I have any questions or need documents or financial aid does, if you would get back to as soon as possible to us and never more than 24 hours. Is that fair? Yes. That can help minimize ghosting as well.
100%. Last quick thing here, and then we'll open it up, is possibly one of the most important pieces. And I love the creepy picture of a guy following her, but
it's creepy.
Following up. So if you're going to follow, you need to follow up with your enrollments. With virtual, you absolutely, it's critical. You got to do twice the follow-up quality that you're probably doing in person. If you did a great job and created the emotional connection, it's great, but you got to stay in touch with the student. And just because we do virtual doesn't mean they're never allowed to come on campus. It just means to get through the presentation here in 25 minutes and get an application, that's all I needed to do. Then they can come to campus, meet with financial aid. I'll tour them at that point, if need be too, unless I'm an online school. They can still come in, but you want to make sure you've got great follow-up. And it really starts with using virtual for your follow-up. Personalized videos that you're sending out, which you should be doing. So personalized videos, recapping points, dripping content to them consistently. Think about what your student really needs and sending it to them. What do they need to know? Making sure that you have a checklist that they're following. If you're doing workshops, orientation, stitch-in meetings, hold continuous virtual stitch-ins the entire time until they start. Every single week, something to keep them engaged. If you do that and you create a great enthusiasm at the beginning, you're going to have students who are going to start and stay and enroll and graduate from your program. That's it on our end. So well, I think, Tosh, I'll let you open it up if you guys.
Sure. So if anybody has any questions, I'm showing 1:58, so 2 minutes to go. And I do want to make a few comments, and maybe this will tee up a session at a later time. So Lex and I were having some conversations on what if you have no buying committee present, and what's the impact that has? If you're doing a virtual tour, do you have them come onto campus and do a physical tour? We had someone comment that they thought virtual touring was instead of, you know, somebody actually coming in to see the campus. So, you know, so that was another challenge. And then how do you show off, you know, the cool instructor who got great energy, you know, and you always want to introduce, you know, your prospective student and their families to? You know, yeah. So I think those are some topics for maybe another time.
And by the way, a really quick answer to that is have some short videos of some of your prime instructors that are embedded in your PowerPoint. 20-second, 30-second video with their energy and enthusiasm. Hi, my name's so-and-so. I'm the head of the welding department, And this is our philosophy, you know, whatever it is. That can help virtually a lot as well.
Great. Well, I've got 2 o'clock, so thank you, everybody. For being present. Thank you for your input. Lex, Tom, great stuff. Just love these best practices. Love that it's science-based, not just opinion-based. So really,
and if you want to connect with us, you have more questions, happy to answer. Email Tom at theartofadmissions.com or Lex at theartofadmissions.com. And that's our website. You have more questions, you know, reach out to us. Happy to answer them for you.
Yeah, and I do want to let you all know we're doing a summit on December 15th. So I don't know if you've got a feel for it, but the third Thursdays of every month, you can expect something from Enrollment Resources that is best practice oriented. So we have a really cool summit coming up in the month of December. So just FYI, that's December 15th.
Excellent.
Thank you, Tom. Well, thank you, Lex. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
everybody.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Karina.
Thanks, guys.
If we have a request for a future topic, who should we send it to?